is up, wrestling fans? It is Monday, June 2nd. We just finished watching this evening's edition of Monday Night Raw, the night after Payback. But more importantly, we saw some crazy things happen this evening. Batista quitting at the very start of the show and finding his replacement before the end of the night. Seth Rollins turning his back on the Shield. Holy crap, we know everyone wants to hear what we got to say, and we want to hear what you got to say, but first off, let's get our introductions out of the way. I'll be the host for this evening. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. Joining me this evening, first off, the host of Addicted to Anime and Unanimous Decision MMA, Mr. Steven Huego. What's shaking, dude?
Hey, man, tonight's show was really slow, and then at the end, it just skyrocketed. It was awesome. I think I know what everyone's good's going to be tonight.
it's probably an easy prediction. But also with us this evening, the leader of SmarkOutMoment.com and the Smack Talk podcast on that channel, Mr. Tony Mango. What's shaking, dude?
Not too much. What's up with you, buddy?
I'm excited to get into the big news. We already got a couple callers on the line. I'm just going to ask you guys to be patient for just a few minutes. We'll get you guys on the show very soon. Just let everyone else who isn't on the line know, though, this is going to be the most interactive post-Raw experience out there. We love hearing what you got to say. We got a phone line where you guys can call in. If you're not already in line, get yourself in line, because we have a feeling we're going to have a lot of folks calling in. Area code 760-512-7247 is the number to call. There's another number that I've posted around. That number works as well. If you've seen it, don't freak out. They both work. You can also join in via Skype by hitting the Skype icon at the top of the page. That'll also get you in there. And we also have the chat room rolling nicely if you are joining us on blogtalkradio.com. So if you're not, head there. And if you're shy of calling in, you can get your opinion in through the chat room. We'd love hearing what y'all got to say. But guys, let's get into what we got to say, because big, big things going on this evening. Well, we'll do this in reverse, I guess, because the latter part we had this evening, filling in for the departing Batista, Evolution was left with a void, and who did they bring in but Seth Rollins, turning his back on Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, who had just come out triumphant after their victory over Evolution last evening at Payback. What happened? What the hell is going on here? Wago, what the heck's happened?
I have no idea, and this is one of those hard times where I hate having to give my opinions straight after Raw, because I have no time to digest it. It's one of those times that WWE actually got me. It's not one that I could have predicted. I was so high on the Shield, I thought they was going to keep them together for the good rest part of this year, but I guess plans change. I think what's happened is Daniel Bryan's probably going to be out longer, and if you're going to pull the trigger, it's where you're not going to worry about these guys getting lost in the shuffle, I suppose now's the time. From a kayfabe standpoint, I don't know what Triple H would have promised him storyline-wise. Maybe money, maybe a title shot, entry in the Money in the Bank ladder match. I don't know, but it was an awesome turn, and the little speech he gave about the plan B, I was expecting someone to come out, not for Seth Rollins to crack Roman Reigns in the back.
No, I was actually looking away for that moment. I was like, it's just going to be another segment. Somehow they'll get into a schmoz and they'll brawl and get separated, and maybe we'll have a match at Money in the Bank. As soon as I heard that happen that fast in the ring, I was like, whoa, wait, one of them had to be the cause of that noise. And I look up, and there's Seth Rollins standing with the chair, mind blown. And let me tell you, I'm also a Game of Thrones fan. I just had my mind blown with television last night. I cannot handle all this two nights in a row. This is overload.
Just wait until main event.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All the titles merge.
Tony Mango, what the hell happened here, dude?
I did not see this coming at all either. I mean, when Triple H said plan B, I started going through my mind of who's on the roster for both NXT and the normal roster, and I was just like, all right, who's going to join Evolution? Because we've heard this rumor going around for a while that Sheamus would join when Batista left. And I was just like, you know what? Maybe they'll end up throwing him in there. Maybe the reason that they showed Del Rio talking to Stephanie last week or whatever it was, maybe Del Rio is going in there, and then they're going to try to make him like the ace in the hole for the Money in the Bank. Maybe Mark Henry's going to be there because he hasn't been there for a while on the roster. Maybe it's an NXT guy. Did not think it was going to be a Shield person that would turn. And at the very least, if somebody would have turned, it would have made sense for me if Ambrose would have turned instead. Definitely would not have called Seth Rollins turning. He was like the biggest babyface type of guy that they had there, mm-hmm. doing all the flips and, you know, being the staunch supporter of the Shield and all that. So,
well, perhaps that's his motivation. Perhaps maybe he felt like he was one who was busting his butt the most, but Roman Reigns was kind of the guy that was getting a lot of the clout.
Maybe, I don't know. But whatever happens, I'm curious to see where they go from here. So, you know, golf clap, WWE. Nice job.
One thing I'd like to point out, we've all talked about if back when we thought the Shield was going to split up when they was teasing it last year or earlier this year, we was all going, oh, man, I can see Dean Ambrose going heel, Roman Reigns getting a big face push. No one had idea what was going to happen with Seth Rollins. So I think this answers that question. He's finally, there's no worry about his immediate future, at least.
Which is crazy because I would have pegged him being the babyface, the solid babyface for the rest of his career. And I was just thinking that last night when he made that big dive off the stage. It's like, man, this guy is just going to be such a great babyface for years to come. And then the next night this happens. Man, I know nothing about wrestling.
Well, he's got such an aggressive ring style where I'll buy him as a heel again, even in a singles manner. So I'm loving it.
Well, the turn was fantastic. The vicious chair shots, absolutely mutilating the chair that he was using. The curb stomp, that's a fantastic move. You could definitely use that as a heel move. So I'm definitely going to be looking forward to this new evolution. Finally fitting that last piece of the puzzle of the future that I know you've been waiting for, Wago, to see someone representing that piece of it.
Yeah, because it just seemed like, hey, it's a bunch of old guys, and our t-shirt makes us look even older with skeletons. Now you have Triple H representing the past in the Ric Flair role. You got Orton as the face of the WWE representing the present, and you've got Seth Rollins that fits that future bill perfectly. It finally makes sense.
Well, now they've got to get new t-shirts.
Yeah, they do.
And what was Seth Rollins' pose be?
Maybe it'll be two skeletons and then a normal human being.
No, right? It'll be two skeletons in coffins and another skeleton in a cardboard box.
I was about to make a trash can joke, but that works too. Shit, he's going to have to up his game. Evolution's all about suits now, unless he like picks one out of a dumpster or something.
So, you know, Shield's down to two guys now. Does that mean Evolution's just going to go down to two? Will Triple H just stand at the sidelines and just go back to being a sideline role?
Yeah, I think that's where we're going to see that, because he can't wrestle that much. Clearly, he has other things that he has to do in the company, mm-hmm. so he should just take a little step back and, you know, maybe wrestle at SummerSlam, maybe wrestle again at, like, WrestleMania next year or something like that. But in the meantime, let Orton and Rollins do all the other shit. And if Batista ends up coming back, then he can do something else, because fuck that.
Well, that transitions us nicely into the one other thing I wanted to get into before we open up on the phone lines. We appreciate you guys being patient. We definitely want to get you guys in, but want to go around and get your guys' thoughts quick about the departing Batista. A lot of us pretty much saw this coming. As a matter of fact, we got the dreaded na-na-na-na-hey-hey goodbye chant last night at Payback, but it wasn't for certain until it happened, which happened at the very top of the show, which set up nicely for this later on. But Batista, gone. Supposedly just to go to promote his movie. Most likely will be back, but believing what you want with all these rumors, there could be a lot of negative implications of the relationship between Batista and WWE. Tony, I know you're a guy who likes to keep up with all the scoops out there. What are you thinking about this?
Well, I think that this is kind of a little column A and a little column B. I think the reason why he cut that promo tonight about the whole, like, I've been given a bunch of empty promises and all that, might be a little bit true, but at the very least, it's just working the internet with the reports that have been going on about the whole thing. Like, he was expected to win the title, and now he's mad, and now WWE's pissed off at him, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I think a lot of that's just playing up to it, but there's probably a grain of truth to that. Even jokes have a grain of truth to them for the most part, so there's got to be something that they're working with when it comes to that. But I do think he'll be back, and I think he's going to be back for SummerSlam. I don't think it's going to be that long of a thing, because we have Money in the Bank, and then we have Battleground. So,
oh, is that still happening?
Yep. So that's two pay-per-views where we're not going to necessarily have him around, but you got to imagine SummerSlam he'd be back, or at the very least right after SummerSlam when somebody else leaves, like a, you know, the RVD people and the Brock Lesnars and all that. They bump him up for SummerSlam and then crack them all down again, and Batista can pop up maybe around then, maybe in Survivor Series or something. But Guardians of the Galaxy comes out in August, so that's the perfect time with SummerSlam to be advertising that kind of a thing. So
I want to thank Brian the Brain in the chat room for reminding me of all the clever nicknames that have been coming out. Bautista, and now the new one after his outfit last night, Bautista, which I'm going to go out on a limb here. I kind of like that outfit. I feel like I'm the only person in the world.
Well, Bautista was pissed about the Bautista thing. Did you see his other tweet?
I think that was all character.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's just making fun of the people crying about it.
He knows the Smarks hate him. He plays into it.
That one, I'd be willing to bet that it's probably just him. Because he's probably just kind of like, the fuck? I go out there, I try to do all this kind of stuff. I'm supposed to be, like, the main guy. Nobody buys into it. Nobody likes me winning the Royal Rumble. Now, like, the biggest thing is I'm wearing fucking blue. Like, give me a goddamn break.
Well, it is headlines, so at least you're in the headlines.
True. No news is bad news.
Creepa's on the radar saying Bautista will come back as a major baby face. I think that is very, very likely.
Yep. Is he going to wear a baby blue outfit?
God damn it, Tony. That was terrible.
Oh, people good with Photoshop out there? I got a new one. Balutista, which is like Baloo from the Jungle Book.
I thought you were going with Bo Lutie.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
We're merging in Bo Dallas in here. I'm like, this is getting way too far.
Wago, what do you think about the future for Bautista?
You said everyone saw this coming, but no one clued Drew in by chance because he just lost 100 points.
Poor Drew Tista.
But, with him going away for the movie, I suppose it's the best move. And let's face it, most people are tired of Bautista and really not into him. So I'm fine with him going away and getting a fresh start as babyface Bautista because this run's been less than interesting for me. I actually enjoyed the opening segment, though. They did it very well. And this is the second time that Batista's quit now, so it's becoming his thing.
At least he didn't do it in a wheelchair this time.
Awesome if you just brought a wheelchair down just to quit and then got up and left.
All right, well, with that, we're going to start opening up our phone lines. We appreciate those on the line being patient. If you want to get yourself in line, call in area code 760-512-7247 is the number to use your landline or cellular device. Or if you prefer to use Skype, just press the Skype icon at the top of the broadcast page on megapowersradio.com. Or you can also join the chat room. We already got lots of cool folks in there. Brian the Brain, Creep is Under Radar, Five Times Combo, Grapple This Productions, and of course our very own Stephen Huego holding things down, representing the panel. But let's bring on our first caller. They're calling in from the 479 area code. Caller from 479, you are on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Well, my name is Lori Burt, and I am calling from Springdale, Arkansas.
Lori, thanks for calling in. How you doing tonight? What'd you think about Raw?
Well, I was shocked. I mean, you know, I wasn't so much shocked at the beginning when Bautista quit, because he had been promised certain things when he came back after he won the Royal Rumble and everything. And, so I wasn't really shocked about that, but I was shocked about Seth Rollins turning on the Shield. You know, because when the Shield first came to the WWE, I was not a real big Shield fan. I didn't really like him. I was like, okay, why are they here? You know, What are they going to keep doing? You know, and I didn't really care for him. And then I kind of started liking him here recently. You know, I thought, well, you know, the Hounds of Justice, I thought that was a pretty cool name, you know, and they were taking out Evolution and, you know, but then tonight, like I said, when Triple H, you know, said Plan B and then all of a sudden Seth Rollins took that chair and whacked Roman Reigns with that chair, I thought, oh my gosh, I was shocked. I mean, I couldn't believe
it. It was heavy. It was a moment where I could not even process anything else, and I believe our own Stephen Wago here said, I dreaded the moment coming onto the show and having to give my fresh reactions because I didn't even know how to process it. It was too much for my brain to handle. But what do you think is the future for all three members of the Shield now? Where are they all going to end up going? It seems like they're going to start going their separate paths.
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, I kind of agreed with a lot of you. You know, I thought if anybody would have turned, I thought it would have been more Dean Ambrose than Seth Rollins. Mm. You know, I was really shocked that Seth Rollins was the one who turned, you know. But I don't know, you know. I think Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, they they have a fight to complete, and if the WWE lets them stay, I think they're going to come back. They're going to come back fighting, and especially Roman Reigns. I mean, he doesn't step away from a fight for nothing. I mean, he's probably, out of all those three members of the Shield, I think he's probably the toughest one that they have.
Yeah, he's definitely the stud. I think he is going to be a bright, bright star. He's got that Rock blood in him, so he's definitely got the charisma on his side as well. $1 million smile, $1 million biceps, awesome tattoos. The crowd absolutely loves him. He's going to be a tremendous star. Dean Ambrose is the guy I'm a little bit worried about. He's going to have to really step up his game if he's going to be able to keep a name for himself when both of these guys go out on their own and he's left to fend for himself. Lori, let me ask you one more thing. What was your high point and your low point for tonight's show? Meaning, what was your favorite part of the show and what was your least favorite part of the show?
Well, I really liked the way John Cena stood up to Stephanie McMahon. And I mean, everything that he said about Daniel Bryan, he had valid points. I mean, yes, he cannot wrestle right now. He had the neck surgery, you know, and everything. But he worked hard to get those championship belts. When they tried everything to keep him from getting those belts one way or another. I mean, and I admire, you know, the fact that, you know, and then even last night, you know, Brie, you know, saying, hey, I quit just so Daniel Bryan wouldn't lose the championship belts, you know. I admire that. But, you know, John Cena had very valid points, everything he said to Stephanie McMahon tonight. I like that. That was probably one of my favorite things. I guess my least favorite really is, I'm not a big Wyatt family fan. You know, I don't like the Wyatt family and never really have. And, you know.
Is it because they're dirty?
I mean, the Usos. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very, very
dirty. And homeless.
well, I don't know about homeless, but I mean, They play dirty. And, of course, you know, some people like the Wyatt family, you know. Mm. I don't. But, you know, I've been a wrestling fan for a very, very long time. I enjoy watching it. My husband enjoys watching it. My son enjoys watching it. We're all big wrestling fans. And I've gotten to meet several big-name wrestler stars over the years. You know, a lot of legends I've gotten to meet over the years. And I love the sport, so I go to a lot of independent wrestling shows, too. I actually have a wrestling nickname, too, that
What's
was
that?
Given to me about, they call me Granny Hulkster.
Why do they call you that?
I actually have a yellow t-shirt. It says, what you gonna do when Granny Hulkster goes crazy on you? I had a friend make that t-shirt for me, and I started wearing it to these independent wrestling shows that I go to. And all my wrestling family, they don't even call me by my real name anymore. They all call me Granny or Granny Hulkster. I mean, and they love when I come to their wrestling shows.
Oh, it's adorable. Hopefully you're not going there and ripping your shirt off in front of the families.
No. I never rip off my shirt, but I can talk smack to the best of them. I can get right in their face, and I can holler at them, and I can boo them. And
can you drop a leg drop?
I actually had a wrestler use my fold-up cane last year on another wrestler at an independent wrestling show in Fort Smith, Arkansas. So took it right out of my hand and used it on the wrestler, and so which was pretty funny. So.
That's a very cute story. Thank you for sharing, Lori. But we got another caller. We're going to get on the line, but we appreciate you calling in here. What you got to say. You're always welcome to call in another week, Lori.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Uh-huh.
Tremendous call. First time caller there, I believe. So thank you very much for calling in, Lori. Anyone else wishing to call in, don't be afraid. We're always welcoming first timers and even second or third, fourth, whatever time you're calling in. We like hearing from you. Get yourself in line. Area code 760-512-7247 is a number to dial. Let's get on our next caller from the 412 area code. If I recall correctly, this will be our good friend JD from Pittsburgh. Am I correct? Is this JD?
Yep, guys, how's it going tonight?
Absolutely tremendous, dude. We were all excited to hear what you got to say about some of these events we got going on tonight. I know you're super stoked about this whole ceremony that went down with Rusev.
Yeah, talk about another bullshit ceremony. Once again, we have to hear the same old diarrhea crap coming from Lana's mouth. However, please pay homage to Vladimir Putin. But no, that's beyond the point, Howard. I mean, it was dumb. It was stupid. It was tacky. It was just lame. I don't know why they even had to have it on tonight. It continues to be the most boringest bullshit known to man. But you talk about bullshit, however. The show started out real well, however, with Blue Ball Batista, let's just say, however, crying like a little bitch, however, saying, oh, I should be given this, I should be given that, however, mind you. Well, guess what? If memory serves me, however, who kissed whose ass to get a spot at the Royal Rumble? Who kissed whose ass to get a shot at WrestleMania? Let's see, Batista, I think you were kissing Hunter, your buddy's ass, however, to get that opportunity, if I recall, however. Now, I did hear some before we go on, however, and the reason why Brie quit, however, I heard someone tell me, and there's a rumor going around, I don't know if it's been true or not, maybe you guys can find out about this, but the reason why Brie was taken off TV there has been talked she might be or she could be pregnant possibly with a little Daniel Bryan. I think that's why they took her off television. I don't know if that's been confirmed yet or not, but your guess is as good as mine.
I haven't heard any confirmation, but considering they just came back from a honeymoon, if I'm a betting man, I would put money on that.
Now, she did just wrestle, I think, on Main Event last week.
Oh,
so
did she?
If that were the case, then I wouldn't. I would say there's a possibility that she just decided she wants to plan on having kids, but they would have had to plan this ahead of time, and she wouldn't have wrestled if that were the case. So she can't be pregnant right now unless they're really just taking a risk. And they're like, we need that Natalia match.
Well, it's not like she has a concussion. Jeez.
Well, the kid might now.
But for the most part tonight, it was a very interesting show. I mean, you had the good match to start out the show, and then until really later in the night, Howard, and the Stephanie John Cena thing was good, and John Cena did, and like Lori said, Howard did make some valid points, Howard. I mean, Stephanie continues to be the spoiled little bitch that she is week in and week out because, obviously, her name's a McMahon, and she has her husband's power, if you will, and her little ego trip once again shows in more ways than one, however. And now she's saying, oh, Daniel Bryan, how if you can't compete in the Buried Alive match, blah, 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 you're going to be stripped of the belt. We're going to have him playing the Bank ladder match. You know, I mean, I've said for weeks on end, guys, it's time to get the goddamn Authority off television. It really is. It's a joke, and it continues to be the same old crap. But the ending tonight, however, I mean, I don't know if Rollins kissed Hunter's ass or not, but you talk about an ultimate sellout. I mean, this was a big, big surprise tonight to me as well. I mean, I can't believe that they would do this the night after a pay-per-view. It came off as a surprise. There was talk originally Ambrose was going to be, and then, but just to have Rollins just sell out his friends like that, I mean, that just goes to show you, obviously, he really likes to stroke Hunter's dick more and more, apparently, because apparently now he's the newest member of Evolution, and of course, getting his own ego. Now we're going to have to hear his own ego saying, I did it because I had Triple H was the one who gave me a chance, and all you people didn't believe me. Well, gee, we're going to have to hear the same old crap now come from Rollins' mouth. Goody. But, I mean, yeah, this was a little surprising that he did go with Hunter and Orton to end the show, however. And the way the fans chanted, you sold out, they were right on the money. He did sell out, and it was a bunch of bullshit, to say the least. Nevertheless, it was a half-decent show, but it wasn't a great show, I thought, tonight. It was somewhere in the middle, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, it wasn't after pay-per-view. Usually they don't have to go too hard. I think the fact that we got as much on the show as we did is actually something to be commended for. We got set up for Money in the Bank, which already I'm starting to see the pieces come together, and I'm intrigued, which is more than I felt leading all the way up to the very beginning of Payback. So that's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And two other things is just really, I mean, you talk about guys pissing off who. I mean, who did Ziggler piss off to continue to get treated like this? Who did Kofi piss off in management to get treated like this? Seriously, you talk about guys who are falling way down the ladder. It's a joke. And then you got, meanwhile, you're pushing these guys like Ryback. So talk about jackasses. These guys are the biggest jackasses of all, looking like totally like strawberries every time they wear their stupid stocking caps. We don't care about you. You guys are a fucking joke. Okay, seriously, you're a fucking joke, and yet you beat Goldie and Sin Cara tonight. Give me a freaking break.
Not too much to be proud of.
Yeah, Yeah. But like I said, it was a thumbs in the middle type show tonight. Before I go, I might as well give you my high point and low point tonight. The high point, good opening match, I think, with Sheamus, Barrett, Van Dam, and Cesaro. I thought it was pretty good. I was really surprised Cesaro lost last night. The other high point, even though he sold out, however, was the whole Triple H thing. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here. But the low point, again, has to be the Bo Dallas thing and the Russo thing. More and more, I'm tired of seeing the same old bullshit coming out of their mouth week in and week out. Bo Leave and Mother Russia. You know what? Go back to fucking NXT. You guys are fucking jokes in the WWE right now. You're nothing. And like I've said before, and I said it last week about you, Rusev, take your borscht, take your vodka, take your little whore Lana, and go back and play with yourself in the Kremlin somewhere, because you're a fucking embarrassment is what you are. You continue to be a joke week in and week out. And to have them play the Russian national anthem tonight, I mean, that was just an absolute slap in the face to a lot of people, including me. It was a fucking joke.
Are you a proud American, JD?
Yes, I am. Damn proud of it, too.
That's good. That's good. Love America.
Yes.
Yes. All right, JD, another tremendous call as always, bro. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right, talk to you guys soon.
Have a good night, bro. All right, another... Oh, hit my mic there for a second. Sorry, folks. Two great calls in a row, in fact. Thanks to both JD and Lori for calling in. Anyone else, don't be shy. Please call in. Give us your thoughts about what went down on WWE Raw tonight. You want to talk about Seth Rollins? You want to talk about Blue Tista? You want to talk about Alexander Rusev? You want to talk about whatever the heck you want? Number to dial in is area code 760-512-7247. Or you can also join us by clicking on the Skype icon at the top of the page or add in the chat room at the bottom of the page. So, turning back to us panelists here, Steven and Tony, hope you guys are still here. We had two callers there. Are you still awake? Okay. Well, let's go ahead and start from the beginning of the show and go down. We already talked about Batista coming out and quitting. We began our first matchup immediately after that, a tag team matchup featuring Sheamus and Rob Van Dam going against Cesaro and Bad News of Barrett. Couple notes I wanted to go over here. Cesaro started it last night. He has this new walk when he comes out where he really like tensely puts his shoulders and puffs his chest out. It's so weird. I like it, but it looks so fake. He looks like one of those generic entrances in like when you have the creator wrestler in WWE wrestling video games.
When I first saw him do it, I thought he shit himself.
Maybe he did last night, and then they were just like, yeah, keep doing that. Keep shitting myself. No, just the walk. You don't need to do the other part.
I'll give one thing credit to it, though. It does kind of match the music.
What, by how terrible it is?
Yeah, I guess maybe that's it.
His little impression of Vince McMahon's walk is really odd, and I didn't notice it last night. So when he started doing it here, I was just like, oh man, that jacket must be really tight or something. Like maybe they washed it and it just got really tight and he can't move his arms. Or
well, the only reason I caught on it yesterday was because Lola went, oh, what's with the chest?
whatever makes him stick out, I guess. Good for him.
Literally sticking out.
Well, his manager Paul Heyman joins the commentary booth for this matchup, which was a pretty decent tag match for the short amount of time that was there. Cesaro ends up walking out of the match at the request of his manager Paul Heyman, allowing Rob Van Dam to get the easy pin on Bad News Barrett. Not a good night for my team, I'll say that. But Sheamus and Rob Van Dam getting an easy victory. Don't really know what this leads. I guess we could look to a Cesaro-Wade Barrett matchup. That's kind of neat. But does this make the face turn for Wade Barrett? Was this the face turn right here? Because that's pretty piss poor. I don't know.
This isn't any kind of a turn. Or there's no match coming up with Cesaro or whatever. This is just a way to make Barrett lose without actually really losing. Because he can't beat both Sheamus and RVD together. Then that'll make
sense. Why not? He's got the bullhammer. Rob Van Dam's old.
Yeah, but you know how they work. Sheamus wouldn't lose like that. At the very least, he wouldn't. So this is a way to make Bad News Barrett lose, but he doesn't lose from just getting his ass actually kicked. And it gets a little bit more heat on Cesaro because he did what Paul Heyman wanted him to do. So I like the ending of the match. I thought it was pretty decent. The match throughout... the action throughout the match, I mean, that was okay. I'll spoil a little something from the upcoming episode of Smack Talk. I was not very impressed with Payback last night, and I felt like it was just a glorified episode of Raw. So this match, starting off this episode of Raw, I actually thought it was on par or better than the quality of the matches that we saw last night.
Yeah, I would actually agree with you there. I thought freaking Payback was very subpar. I think it was okay because I already had paid for the network anyway. But when I'm looking at quality of shows, man, I watched TakeOver, the NXT show on Thursday night, leaps and bounds better than Payback was.
Really? I wasn't even that impressed in TakeOver.
TakeOver fucking sucked. Like, by comparison?
By comparison to Payback?
No, by comparison to their other show, but it's just, like, so subpar. I didn't really get into TakeOver at all. I don't know why everyone was so hyped about that show.
It had like 3 kick-ass matches on it. Yeah. Not to mention all the other matches. Like, what was a bad match on that show? Name one bad match on that show.
There wasn't a bad match on there, but people are fucking talking about it like it was amazing. So Tyler Breeze and Sami Zayn was kind of boring towards, well, the majority of the match.
The first half of it kind of was, but they picked up. They found their swing eventually. I think I saw you use the word sloppy. They messed up like 2 or 3 moves. Like, I think that's being a little overjudgmental on it. The most impressive thing was that freaking Divas match. Freaking Charlotte and Natalya, they tore the house down.
Yeah, but Charlotte's not allowed to do a sharpshooter ever again.
Oh, it was fine. it was her own version of it.
You mean wrong?
Whatever.
Kind of like how the Miz does his own version of the figure four.
Wait, you got anything you want to add to this tag team matchup?
I was probably on the agreement, but it was about the quality of the matches we got last night. RVD got my points. That's good. That's about it.
We got another call on the line. Before we bring him on, I just want to take a quote out of the chat room. The only match worth watching on Payback was supposed to be Bray versus Cena because it was supposed to be the closure match, but you had the Usos piss all over it. So Payback was on the caliber of an NWO-based pay-per-view? That's a little harsh.
Hey, they threw some steps. Peyton loved it.
Well, we got a caller on the line, and if I got this correctly, this caller from the 317 area code is our very own Drew White, who was in the arena tonight. Mr. Drew White, is that you on the line?
Yes, it is. How you doing?
Oh, absolutely tremendous, dude. I feel bad you don't get to hear the Skype sound when we call you this way.
No worries, all good.
How was the show tonight, man?
It probably was better since we were there live. I'm here with Kyle. Kyle, say hi.
Hey.
Yeah, what's up, Kyle?
Person, so. Hey, what's up?
What's up?
What's up, Kyle?
Kyle, you liked the show, didn't you?
I really liked it.
Yeah, he liked it. I don't know if I liked it. I thought I liked it because we were there, but I didn't know if it came across good on TV. So I don't know if it was honestly as good as what I think it is right now. But I enjoyed the ending, at least. The ending was caught me by surprise.
What was the crowd like after the cameras went off the air? I mean, were people really into this whole Seth Rollins thing?
No, people, I don't know when they went off the air, but people like kind of booed. There was a lot of people leaving. After they had like Roman and Dean walk off, there were some people cheering, but then Cena and Bray Wyatt came out to have a match. And I think that like half the crowd was gone. And that was louder than probably most of the stuff that happened throughout the night. It caught me by surprise.
So we usually don't get a very good perception of what the crowd is like on the television show. What was it like for you there live tonight? Because it seemed pretty flat most of the night. They came alive during the parts they absolutely had to, but otherwise it was a very big difference from Chicago last night.
Well, you know, Chicago. They usually have a good crowd. And, you know, I don't know. This is like the third. I think this is the third event I've been to WWE in the past 2 years, and it's always, to me, I feel like it's good while I'm there, but then I go back and watch it, and it's not as good as what I think it is, and, you know, so I don't know, like, how loud it would be in Chicago, but, you know, it probably wasn't as good. I thought it was good, you know, besides the occasional CM Punk chants that people try to start throughout the night. There were some people who tried to start yes chants that never worked, and there was also, I don't know, this guy in front of us who kept on yelling, "You suck," to everyone, because apparently everyone sucked. So I don't know. I will give him credit, because tonight it felt better than the previous few times I went. I went to Survivor Series in 2012, and we went to Raw last year when they started the CM Punk Undertaker Earn feud when they were having the Paul Bearer Memorial Show.
Hmm. Well, I mean, at the least, you're not going to be able to look back in history and see say that you were at the moment that Seth Rollins turned on himself. And also when Batista walked out of the company, who knows? That might be the last time Batista has ever seen.
Yeah. And also, we were also there for the when Shield first debuted on television. So we kind of got that idea. We got to see the beginning and the end of kind of like the main three members of the Shield as a faction.
Wow. That's deep, bro.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That's real
deep.
That's
deep, yeah. That's deep. Oh, man, let me tell you, I'm taking the house out of that one.
So how was the crowd during that Rusev segment? That's what I really want to know. They were blasting that music loud.
They were loud. It felt loud. I just liked it because I just wanted to hear the Russian national anthem.
And you got confetti. Did you take any confetti home with you?
I was really surprised. Oh, no, we were all the way at the top, and we didn't get any.
We got confetti after the segment.
Oh, yeah, I guess apparently, I went to the bathroom, because I have a really short bladder, apparently, at live events, but,
the confetti was still falling, and it got up to the higher levels.
So. Oh, yeah, kind of, a little confetti, but for the most part, it was just over the ring, and, like, the first level of stuff.
Hmm. You and your cheap seats. All right, Mr. Drew White, let me get your high point and low point for tonight's show as someone who attended it, and also get your friend Kyle's as well.
All right. Let's see. My high point would probably be, it's probably the Rusev segment. I really like that, and I thought it was good. I thought it was entertaining. It got, I don't know, a lot of people hated it, the whole booing part, but it was really good. I think it might have helped Rusev out in the long run. Because, he's kind of been what we would call, he's not been doing too well. The low point probably was the John Cena-Kane match, and that's just because as soon as it started, I went to the restroom because I did not want to watch it.
For me, high point, definitely the Rollins turn. I didn't see that coming at all. I don't know if you guys thought that was if you guys had anticipated that.
Absolutely not, man. Came out of nowhere. We were talking about before, if we saw anybody, maybe Dean Ambrose. But after they stood so strong last night, I don't think there's anybody who could have possibly seen that coming.
Yeah, I for one didn't see it coming. That's something that you don't get now. I feel like you don't get those shocking moments like that. So that was my high point. My low point, I'd probably go with John Cena Kane. I felt the show was good all around, and that was a tad mediocre for the most part. So, good show, though.
All right. Drew, did you plan on sticking around the rest of the night?
By that, you mean?
I guess that means that you got to go.
No, we're driving home. I'm just going to plan on. I only got 38% left anyway. Yeah, I'm going to just drive home and, I'll talk to you guys later, okay?
All right, you guys should definitely be driving safe. Drew, we'll have you back on the show next week. Glad we got yourself on here, though, and have a fun night, man.
You too.
Good night
to
you as well, Kyle.
Good night, guys.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Mr. Drew White. Very own cast member calling in. That was kind of weird. Kind of surreal.
I did it first.
Did you? All we could hear in the background was... Couldn't confirm that was actually you when you called in.
Oh, I completely forgot to ask Drew White his opinion on this segment. Drew, if you're listening, call in again so I can get your opinion on this one. Damian Sandow comes out dressed as some basketball player. Not even sure who he was. Some Indiana player. Drew would have known. Now I feel like a jerk.
They can talk about it on Sports Talk Weekly.
Yeah, there you go. He gets interrupted by a returning Big Show who hasn't been on in like over a month. So kind of out of nowhere. But Big Show comes out, hits him with the weapon of mass destruction, slam dunks the basketball into the basket. And that was that. Anything you guys want to add to this?
Fucking stupid.
I'm going to make a rare basketball pun here in reference to this segment. Pass.
See what you did there.
That was good. Okay. Well, we had a matchup between Bo Dallas and Kofi Kingston, a match we were supposed to have at Payback last night, but it was interrupted by Kane, which freaking out of nowhere. Speaking of things out of nowhere, Bo Dallas got to have another BOMO before the match, saying that the Heat beat the Pacers because they were Bo-leavers. That sounds legit to me. I think I saw that mentioned somewhere on Sports Talk Weekly. That's why the Heat won.
Drew right now is getting a shiver.
Bo Dallas wins after a short but competitive matchup. I'm glad that Bo Dallas isn't just coming out here and getting regular old squash matches. They're actually somewhat of a back and forth, not too much. I mean, it's not like you ever think that Kofi Kingston's actually going to win, but at least he's getting some moves in there. Well, guys, how do you receiving Bo Dallas so far, Wago?
I didn't realize kind of like how he's kind of skinny fat ass like CM Punk was. He really looks odd with that wrestling gear. I don't know if it's his wrestling gear, but he's just kind of not in shape compared to when he was in NXT, but he kind of seems flabby. And he doesn't. I wouldn't believe him if he was in a squash match, so I'm glad it was as competitive as it was. I'm still not sold on him. He needs a different finisher because he fucking botched that tonight. Mm. And I can see that happening a few times unless he's with a guy that's a lot heavier than him and then can carry his weight. But with guys like Kofi and, let's face it, most of the roster's getting smaller. He needs to pick a different finisher.
Tony?
I am digging this. I think that it's different enough that it's not going to bore me like the Rusev character has, where we've seen the squashed monster kind of thing going on dozens upon dozens of times in the past couple of years. And I can't remember the last time we had somebody like Bo Dallas, so the more that he does this kind of stuff without getting too repetitive, it'll be really fun. And I loved how at the beginning of this match, after, what was it, like two moves or something like that, he decided to celebrate and he was saying to the crowd, "You see that? I'm winning." Said basically nothing to Kofi, but he's winning because he got those moves in. This is just so good, and it's such a good way to introduce a character because it's stupid to the point where you can boo him because of the fact that you're like an internet person who thinks that it's stupid, but it's stupid as well because you can boo him from just like you can tell that he's a bad guy and you can get behind it too, kind of like the Bad News Barrett thing where if he starts going, "Oh, you know, I believe," and all that, people last night were chanting that they were believers and everything. So it's got the perfect recipe of being over the top ludicrous to the point where you can shake your head at it and laugh at the same time. So this is awesome. Bo Dallas is doing great. I really hope that sometime around maybe this time next year, maybe even a little bit around WrestleMania or so, I'd love to see him be like the Intercontinental Champion or something.
Oh, hell yeah. Have a nice long run too. Like maybe have him going for
the Honkameter.
The Honkameter. Yeah, bring that back.
They need to, before he does that, they need to have a feud with Santino.
Sure.
Kind of cement this whole thing.
Sure.
Creepers Underrated says his face is perfect for this gimmick, and I have to agree. He's fucking ugly ass.
He is so ugly. Every time when he comes out and he turns around and he's got that big shit-eating grin on his face, oh my god, he's hideous. Especially when he always has that one strand of hair covering his face.
Oh god, yeah, I noticed that the other day, and I was just like, I wanted to take it off and just be like, oh, can you?
I think he is the ugliest wrestler on the roster. He's like uglier than fucking Luna was.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, speaking of ugly, let's go into this next segment. We had Stephanie McMahon coming out, announcing her decision for what will be happening for the World Heavyweight title at Money in the Bank. If Bryan is able to defend it, we will get a stretcher match between himself and the Demon Kane. However, if he is unable to defend it, it will be vacated and then be defended as a vacated title in the Money in the Bank matchup, which sounds way better than Kane and Daniel Bryan, a stretcher match. So I hate to say it, I'm kind of hoping Daniel Bryan can't defend it. We'll go around and get your guys' thoughts on that. Tony, with Daniel Bryan and your team, you're kind of in a rock and a hard place here.
I think he's still going to end up wrestling that match. And that's not just because it's blind hope or something like that. I think if they reached a point now where they were in doubt about this, they would have just done something at Payback. Maybe it's true. Maybe they still don't know. Maybe that's why they threw this out there. But I'm kind of thinking they put that out there because they just want to build a little bit of suspense. If they announce it right now that they're going to have that match, then they kind of shoot themselves in the foot because they need to build up to it over the next few weeks. And announcing that there could possibly not be that match, that gets people talking more. So that's the move that I would have done in retrospect. Of course, everything in hindsight, you can end up telling you what you're going to do. But I still think we're getting a title match. I still think we're getting a Money in the Bank match. And I really like this one idea, despite how I don't like part of it, that I heard earlier today, which was, what if Brock Lesnar beats Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam and Cesaro cashes in the Money in the Bank at SummerSlam on Brock Lesnar right afterward?
Ooh.
That would be a hell of a face turn for Cesaro, and it would be a means to break him up with Paul Heyman. It would be a means to not only give Brock Lesnar a championship, which you kind of assume he probably has on his contract that eventually he would do that, and it would give somebody a credible victory over Daniel Bryan, because whoever beats Bryan now, that person's got to be, you know, a big deal. But it gets Cesaro that, and if they don't really have a match necessarily, then they can have that match at WrestleMania.
And it finally would like make all this constant reminding of how Paul Heyman's client Brock Lesnar conquered The Undertaker's legendary undefeated streak at WrestleMania worth it.
Right. And then maybe Cesaro can come out and say, I was the former client of Paul Heyman and I conquered the man who conquered the undefeated streak. And they can just get this to more ridiculous levels. But
he can have a shirt that says, eat, sleep, conquer the beast.
Yeah, then he could stand really awkwardly and walk down the shirt. I'm confident we're getting Daniel Bryan against Kane. And it sucks that it's a stretcher match, because I called that last night that I really hoped that they didn't do that. And boom, there we go.
Just a quick follow-up to that. We ended up getting a match made between John Cena and Kane. It was short. Kane ended up getting himself disqualified when he wouldn't stop attacking John Cena in the corner. They got split up after fighting on the outside of the ring for a little bit. John Cena throwing the steel steps again for the second night in a row. I guess this is his new gimmick. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Of course
you like it. Tony, what the hell happened to this match?
I barely paid attention to it. I didn't care. I knew it didn't matter.
Wago, then, take over for this whole segment.
Okay, as far as Stephanie's promos, they're getting way too long-winded. This is the second time that she's said something where she's bored me and I've missed the point of it. I didn't know that the fucking Brie stipulation was happening at Payback until Tony told me. And then I had to double-check with him again today to see what the fuck was happening at the next pay-per-view, and apparently it's going to be for the championship or not for the championship, depending on Bryan's condition. So all this bullshit that Stephanie's saying, I just go to Tony to check what the fuck's happening now. Promo was awful. John Cena's bit was actually surprisingly the best part of it, which is a rarity. As far as the match goes, it was a dud. Didn't really have much interest in it. But Cena won via disqualification, so more points for me.
Congratulations. Well, another dud was our Divas match featuring a team of Alicia Fox and Oksana having a handicap match against the remaining Bella, Nikki Bella. I guess it's just supposed to be some sort of representation that because of Bree's actions, Nikki is going to be left on her own and is going to be caught in dangerous situations like this. Alicia Fox getting the easy pin, still kind of trying to do her crazy chick thing. I don't know. This has been the worst night for this gimmick so far. I hated this bit tonight. Maybe you guys who have been liking this so far can defend it. Wago?
If only Nikki Bella had a husband that was high standing in the company. If only. But as far as this match goes, it was a dud, and I'm starting to lose interest in the Alicia Fox stuff. It's just kind of getting embarrassing.
Tony?
I still like the Alicia Fox stuff. I still think that it's pretty interesting, and I wouldn't mind seeing another match with her and Paige. Just because Alicia Fox is interesting, I don't think the match will really be that good. God damn, does Nikki Bella look good, and god damn, does Oksana suck.
Two excellent points, Tony. I concur.
Yes, indeed.
Quite.
Yeah, this match and this whole segment, bullshit. Other than thinking that the Alicia Fox stuff is interesting and looking at Nikki Bella, the whole rest of it, waste. By which I mean Oksana is a waste.
So pretty much your summary is fuck Oksana.
Yeah, fuck Oksana, fuck the other two, but in a nice way.
We had a Wyatt family promo. Surprisingly, though, not by Bray Wyatt. It was Luke Harper speaking this evening. And I got to tell you, I was looking at my computer, working on notes or working on promotion for the show or something. And I heard that introducing that it was going to be a Wyatt family promo. I just kind of saw a beard out of the corner of my eye and heard someone talking in separated tones. I had no idea that it was Luke Harper. I thought it was Bray Wyatt. Completely took me by surprise. Very excellent job by Luke Harper. Eric Rowan gets his couple words in saying, follow the buzzards. I don't know what the hell that was either. I'm sorry.
Was fucking alien attacking you? What the hell's going on?
Was that the Alicia Fox impression?
I tried to just carry on, but it was... I couldn't ignore it. Without what the fuck that was.
I think that was Skype freezing on your computer or something.
Muted my mic. I was like, fuck, is there a truck outside or something? And then it continued.
You were being abducted by aliens or something.
Oh, goodness. Well, you guys got anything positive you want to say for Luke Harper here?
Luke Harper's looking really good lately. Not only is he impressive in the ring, but he's also doing a lot better on his mic skills. So the fact that Bray Wyatt wasn't out here, I didn't mind it that much. And Eric Rowan, he stood there admirably.
Hmm. Wayo?
My Skype's in the process of crashing, so can you still hear me?
Yeah.
All right. As far as this promo goes, very impressed. It was kind of out of left field, but... Yeah, I like it. Luke Harper showing more promise, and Eric Rowan said his line. Good for him.
Indeed. Well, speaking of people saying their lines, Adam Rose came out for a match with Jack Swagger. Didn't actually even get to say his line, though. Pretty insignificant match, and I gotta say, Adam Rose is dying a death on Raw because it's already at the point where he's just coming out for quick, meaningless matches with someone like Jack Swagger. I don't know if he's gonna have a chance to really climb himself up from this place that he's in. I mean, there's nowhere to go but up, but it just seems like no one's feeling him the way that they should, or the way that he did the first couple weeks when he debuted the character on NXT. Tony, are you digging it?
Man, it's tough because I can see some potential. But it's awkward. And I think one of the things that's hurting him is when you kind of tell people that somebody's popular, there's sort of an opposite reaction that people have. And, you know, the whole like, oh, we're all going to have fun and we're all partying, so you should too. Well, fuck you. I don't care about this bunny. Or, like... You know, why is there a fucking lemon going around? Like the whole, you know, the lemon and the rosebud thing. If that doesn't catch on, then no matter how many times he says it, it doesn't matter. And I don't know, there's something awkward about the way that he dances around that ring, too, in the middle of the matches. And, man, I don't want to be negative about it. I want to be really positive. But
you want to be a rosebud.
Yeah, I don't want to be a lemon. But I just can't 100% get behind it. Maybe part of it is because Jack Swagger is kind of boring, but the most entertaining part of this whole segment tonight was actually not directly when Adam Rose was coming out, but indirectly something that made me laugh. He's doing, you know, the typical entrance and everybody's jumping around dancing and, you know, singing the song and all that. And for a split second, they cut over to Jack Swagger. And he's in the corner getting himself, like, geared up and pumped up and whatever, bouncing up and down. And, you know, any other situation, it would look like he's just kind of, you know, psyching himself up. But it looked like he was dancing to the fucking theme. So if anybody's not watched Raw and you're listening to this or you want to go back and watch it or whatever, watch out for that because it's 2 seconds long or something like that. But if you have that in your mind when you're watching it, it looks like Jack Swagger just for a second forgets that he's feuding with him and catches on with the song. And it's just kind of like... Who wants to dance or something?
It's catchy.
It is catchy.
That's the best part of the whole Adam Rose gimmick right now is that freaking whoa, oh, whoa, oh, whoa. See, yeah, you got me doing it. Fuck.
And unfortunately, the best part of Jack Swagger right now is his entrance music, too.
They should just, like, collaborate and just, like, have entrance music for a segment. And that's it. No actual match. Yeah. Pull a couple quick comments out of the chat room because we got a few good ones relative to this. Brian the Brain saying, ugh, Swagger losing to that Axl Rose is disgusting. Creep is on the radar, saying, Rose is horrible. This gimmick just sucks. The Bo Dallas gimmick is stupid, but it's stupid gook. Stupid gook. Stupid good. Wow. Grapple This Production says, fuck the bunny.
Just the bunny, though. The rest of them are okay. The bunny.
And Creep is on the radar, saying again, this is so retarded, they even took it off of the pay-per-view. Very true. We even got a Bo Dallas match on the pay-per-view. No Adam Rose, though, on his debut month. It's not a good sign. When you don't even have your WWE champion, you're not going to feature one of your new talents.
On a pay-per-view that had nothing, he couldn't get a showing.
I smell Zack Ryder all over this guy. That kind of sucks.
Was it the bunny?
There's something going around that Zack Ryder was the bunny.
They revealed that on one of their internet shows. I don't know if he's always the bunny, but he was on whatever it was. Like Dolph Ziggler went to the bunny and pulled the headpiece off, and it showed Zack Ryder.
Well.
Anyway, Wago, you got anything you want to add to this?
You know what? I can't remember a goddamn thing from this match, and that's a really bad thing. Because I remember shit from the Del Rio match, and I hate that guy. So, yeah, this... I'm obviously not into Adam Rose, and I don't know how his staying power is.
All right, just echoing our sentiments there. So let's move on to our featured tag match of the night. It was the Usos against Luke Harper and Eric Rowe, a non-title matchup, which is not good because the Usos have not defended their title for just about 30 days. They better get themselves in line with that. But this probably will be their future defense very soon, perhaps maybe even losing, depending on what side of the fence you want to lay on with this. Not a bad matchup they had tonight. I mean, it was slow at times, and the crowd was not helping it any, but once they finally started cooking things up, they both showed that they can go out there and hustle and kick some ass. Eric Rowan ended up getting the pin on this matchup, and I assume that means that they're going to get a title shot at the upcoming pay-per-view. Tony, you excited?
You know, part of me is, part of me isn't. I should be 100% behind it because of the fact that I have Eric Rowan on my team, and that would help out for the fantasy league. But I like the Usos, and as much as it makes sense for the Wyatt family to beat them because the Usos really haven't been doing all that much with the tag titles, I think that they've gotten enough of a crowd support behind them that they can stand to keep them a little bit longer. And the problem with that, though, is who the fuck ends up beating them for it? Certainly not going to be Goldust and whoever random person they add into that. It's not going to be primetime players because they don't exist anymore. Good job, Titus O'Neil. Your career is going great after that. If they can't figure out another tag team to go with, Wyatt family makes sense. But I wouldn't be angry if the Wyatt family didn't win.
Wago?
I'm pretty much agreeing with Tony. I actually really like the Usos, and they've got a lot of potential, but there's no one else to take the titles off of them or feud with them other than the Wyatt family, because WWE's done such a piss poor job at building their tag division. So yeah, fuck you, Titus O'Neil.
Well, moving along quickly then. We only got a few more segments to go through here, guys. Probably going to have a short show, so if you want to get yourself on the line, talk about your opinions, please do. The phone line is open, area code 760-512-7247. And, of course, you could also join us by hitting the Skype icon on the top of the broadcast page. Chat room is still rolling nicely. Let me see what Grapple This is saying here. I am of the Jim Cornette frame of mind on the Usos in regard to your tag team champions. They do not intimidate anyone, therefore they make as much sense as a Santino Marella as world champion. Okay. I don't get it. It means your tag team champions are worthless? Is that what you're saying? Like, no matter who it is, your tag team champions aren't meant to be serious?
No, I think he's saying that the Usos being the tag team champion doesn't make sense because a lot of people still consider the tag team act to be potentially a main event act. The only thing I agree on with Jim Cornette is that Dairy Queen's service is terrible.
Oh, I'm glad it led to that. We had a Money in the Bank qualifying match. I'm glad we're going to have a series of these going over the next few weeks up to the Money in the Bank event. This one was between Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio. Del Rio getting the victory with the cross arm breaker, solidifying him a spot in the Money in the Bank matchup. Keeping in mind, Del Rio seeming like he has a new fire underneath him. We saw him backstage talking with Stephanie McMahon. Was it last week or maybe the week before, not too long ago. Might be seeing Del Rio becoming a player again. Ugh. Tony?
Better fucking not. God damn it. And Dolph Ziggler, get your shit together. Come on. Every time I fucking put him on my fantasy league, it fucks everything up when it comes to Ziggler. When it comes to Del Rio. I was really hoping here Ziggler would win, not just because of the fantasy league stuff, but because I like him better and I don't like Del Rio, and I knew that it wouldn't happen. And I'm really hoping out here that Money in the Bank turns out a lot better than it did for Sandow, and that it doesn't have anything to do with Alberto Del Rio.
Weya?
The best part about the WWE Network is that you can go back to January 22nd when Sin Cara defeated Alberto Del Rio.
And didn't that happen again the next week?
Yes, it was a fucking fantastic time, so a lot better than this shit.
We might go back and watch that. Those were good days. We had another tag team matchup tonight, the team of Rye Baxel, apparently becoming a featured tag team as they went against Goldust, who last night his brother Cody Rhodes told him that he is not fit to be his tag team partner. So he decided to choose a new tag team partner for him, one who was worthy of being with Goldust, and he sends out Sin Cara. Poor Goldie. Not a good match for Goldust. Goldust and Sin Cara got their asses kicked. Easy win for Rye Baxel, who is another team who seems to be on the rise and potentially a threat for the tag team title. As a matter of fact, I remember them winning a number one contenders match fucking on Raw. It was like a month or so ago. I never saw that match happen. Did I just miss that?
No, I don't think that it happened, which is good.
Well, what'd you think about this situation going on between Goldust and Cody and this matchup, Tony?
I really like the idea that they're doing something different with here, as well as the other things I mentioned earlier that are something different. As everybody else, for the most part, did, I expected Cody Rhodes to just turn heel. And the fact that he did the whole thing with, you deserve a better tag team partner, then suddenly I was paying more attention. So it'd be kind of cool to see a bunch of different people tagging up with Goldust. And if it leads to a new tag team partner with Goldust that can keep the tag division going while Cody Rhodes becomes a single star again, all the better. If it doesn't have him lead a heel turn kind of a thing and drop off the face of the earth like probably WWE will end up doing, then that's another positive too. If it ends up getting Cody Rhodes a push back because Goldust wants to tell him, like, yo, you know, you deserve a whole lot better, that you're not giving yourself enough credit, that kind of stuff, another positive way. There's a lot of ways they could go here that I would be fond of. Sin Cara teaming up with Goldust, I don't know if I would stick to that, but correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't know if you guys said, we talked about this a little bit when it happened. If anybody out there knows, did Sin Cara do that jump without the trampoline that the other Sin Cara used to use the trampoline for? Because I did not see the trampoline out there, but it would be odd to think that he could.
I think you just believe in superheroes too much, dude. There's maybe, no way he could possibly have done that without a trampoline.
If for some reason he did, that's fucking impressive, and it puts Sin Cara Azul to shame. Sin Cara Oro.
Wait, is that the one? Is that the one with the tape on the bottom of his boot, or am I thinking it's the other one?
So Sin Cara is better this way, and if he ends up getting something out of it, cool. If Goldust gets something out of it, cool. Rye Baxel, fuck them.
I don't expect to see Sin Cara and Goldust on the out together. Yeah. I think this was a 1 week. I think this is going to be a running gag where Goldust is going to come out with new tag team partners, and it's all just going to be jabronis. Like next week, he's going to come out with Kurt Hawkins, and the next week with JTG maybe.
Justin Gabriel probably before those two. I think maybe Santino. Maybe the hell's the name of that one guy? I'm drawing a blank on one guy. Whatever it ends up being, they'll end up figuring something out.
Wago.
I'm just hoping all this depression of Cody Rhodes leads him to becoming Black Reign and teaming with Goldust to make the worst tag team in professional wrestling history. As far as, on a serious note, though, this fucking feud, I kind of don't like it. I was hoping we'd get into more of a sibling rivalry than we have of just mopey Cody Rhodes, but I'll give it a chance to see if it impresses me. But that's for this first week. Meh.
Oh, Darren Young. That's the guy you were trying to think of, Tony.
Yeah, but I think he actually might even be injured, so.
Oh, yeah. Goody. I'm looking at the chat room here. Grapple This is talking about some kind of comments about superstar Billy Graham Wago. What's this going on?
Okay, so he's not a believer, I can tell you that much.
Oh, well, fuck him then.
Yeah, and I don't remember exactly what he said about Adam Rose, but he said he's some, like, feminine version of some type of rock star. So, yeah, he's pretty much just shitting on the new talents and saying they look stupid. He's just an old fogey that got lost with the times, and his opinion is about as relevant as he is.
Huh. Okay. Doesn't sound that big of a deal then. I mean, this guy is always blurting some stupid thing that's making headlines on the dirt sheets.
He's a grumpy pants.
Yeah, he is a grumpy pants.
All right, well, we got the last segment, and I saved the best for last, guys. Alexander Rusev, having the proudest day of his life, was presented the Russian Star. The Russian Star, guys. The same award worn by Vladimir Putin himself. Just an amazing, amazing day in the life of Alexander Rusev. Lana was there by his side. Some bald guy was there. Confetti fell from the sky. The flags were there. Putin was on the screen. Even Edward Snowden was there. It was a tremendous ceremony. Guys, I mean, come on. Clap along here. Oh, Wago disappeared. Wago was like, fuck this, I'm out of here. Wago, you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Wago, what'd you think of our Rusev ceremony?
God, I wish I wasn't back. A fucking waste of TV time. Fuck. Just saw a potato with a star medal. Weird.
Tony, come on. You got to have something better to say than that.
Not much more. I didn't dig this. I think that it's really a shame that Lana doesn't have better mic skills, because that was really painful when she was just like, shut up. Stop with America, chants. Nah, come on, guys. Like,
come on. Yo.
She could do a Drew White impression that would be more fucking hilarious than anything else.
No, come on, guys.
In a Russian accent. She's just like, oh, guys, no, come on. With a fucking roll in the R's and shit. yeah, this is just crap. I don't like Rusev on the mic any more than I like Lon on the mic. Actually, I like Lon on the mic better than him, because I still don't get what the hell he's saying with Rusev, Matchbox or something he says at the beginning of a
Rusev poo poo, Rusev kaka, I think is what he's saying.
Close enough. And the other guy that was out there talking, he was just as bad as they were.
Creepers and the Raider has reminded me, that's Dimitri. Show some respect.
Dimitri.
That's Dimitri. Came in from Russia to present him with this award.
Dude, that took him 2 seconds to Google Russian names when they were doing this.
What was with the bald guy, though, that was just fucking standing there and he was randomly looking off to the side like he smelled a fart?
He's looking at the camera like, are we done yet? No.
He's fucking so
fucking up his mind.
So didn't want to fucking be there. It was ridiculous.
What was Dimitri's last name? I have to add him down as a potential worst candidate for
I don't think he had a last name.
Vodka.
Dimitri Vodka something.
About as good as Hanukkah Burger.
I would have rather seen a promo with Dr. Hanukkah Burger. Bring him back.
I think that's gonna be a future like conflict is Dr. Vodka.
Dr. Vodka Burger.
Shit, I want a vodka burger. That sounds awesome.
That's going to be like the new thing. Just whatever the most common thing is for that country, just put that in front of burger. Now we're going to have a
person. Oh, the chat's decided the last name is Smirnoff.
Smirnoff?
Well, at least you could do a typical pairing here. What goes best with burgers? Fries.
And potatoes. Okay.
Potatoes.
I get it.
It works.
It all comes full circle.
Right.
You guys got anything else you want to add to the segment?
That's about it. This was a waste of time. Nobody came out to do anything. So
yeah, the whole time in the chat, we're like, all right, Big E's going to come out and ruin this. Somebody's going to come out waving an American flag. And they're going to the next segment. Okay.
Yeah, at some point, I think it was like, man, if someone doesn't ruin this, I'm going to be pissed off. I'm pissed off.
If someone doesn't ruin it, it's going to ruin this segment. And you know what else was kind of awkward, too? If you did this with the National Anthem for America, people would be pissed off. But they're like, oh, can you please rise for the Russian National Anthem? And everybody's like, you know, boo and all this. And JBL just starts talking. And then they're like, oh, we're going to cut to a fucking commercial or something.
Imagine they did that during the Olympics.
Oh, God.
That's funny as shit.
Not going to say the joke I'm thinking of.
Dr. Freiberger? I don't know who that was. That could be someone else, though. All right. Well, with that, folks, we're going to conclude the overall talk about the show and go into our good, our bad, and our ugly. Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what the best part of the show was, the worst part of the show, and what was the most embarrassing part of the show, such as if you had someone who wasn't a wrestling fan walk in while you're watching and felt like you had to explain what was on the TV to them. Tony, why don't you start us off with your good, bad, and ugly?
I think everybody's probably going to go with the same good, so even though I kind of agree, I'm just going to throw a different one out there. I'll give credit where credit's due to something that people are going to brush by and forget next week. I think that the Stephanie McMahon and John Cena promo had a damn good line in it. The one that John Cena said, you've had surgeries, and then Stephanie had the retort back, that put me in action. And then he responded with the, let's just lock that one up in the chest for now. I thought that that was damn good. That's the pun person in me absolutely loved that. Now, everybody's going to say the other one, so I'll let them do that, but I'll try to be different and say that's my good. My bad, the Damian Sandow basketball segment, that just sucked. And that's something that I'm never really that fond of. And the fact that it ended up being just a vehicle for Big Show to knock him out is a shame, because Damian Sandow deserves much better than that. And my ugly, because I love doing this over and over again, both the segment and Dylan himself.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that. I forgot. I don't even have any notes about that because I was downstairs getting food. Some shit happened with Hornswoggle. Whatever happened, it was stupid.
He had a wig, and then it was taken off, and then he was embarrassed. That's the gist of it.
Same thing they always do when someone gets their head shaved.
Uh-huh. Except the weirdest part is they didn't shave the rest of it off. He's still got all the long hair at the back.
Oh.
Weird.
Yeah, he's kind of like pulling a Hulk Hogan here.
It's fucking weird.
Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly.
Okay, my good is definitely the Seth Rollins turn, and that's what Tony wanted to say. It was just out of nowhere, shocking, and I've covered everything I can say about it. As far as the bad goes, fuck. It's probably going to be the Rusev segment. It was shitty. And the ugly, it's got to go to that Damian Sandow segment, because if someone was in my, like, walked in, I'd be like, yeah, it's comedy. You got punched. Yeah. It's wrestling. Quality.
All right, going to pull in a couple from the chat room here. Brian the Brain saying, good, the Rusev segment, spit in your guys' faces. The bad, Ziggler losing to Del Rio, and the ugly was Hornswoggle's hair. Take a couple from Grapple This Productions. He said the good was the Wyatts stepping out on their own with a promo. The bad is the midgets. Pardon me. And the ugly was Damian Sandow. Now, to give you my own personal good, bad, and the ugly, my good is also going to go with the Seth Rollins turn tonight. Completely unexpected, tremendous performance by everybody involved. I think one thing we didn't specifically mention was the look of surprise on the face of Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose, his biggest strength is his facial acting, and he executed it perfectly during that segment. So props to him especially. my bad, I'm going to give to that Stephanie McMahon and John Cena segment, which, yeah, it had that one good little quip in it, but otherwise that segment just felt like it went on forever. A major low point for me on the show. And my ugly, I am also going to give to that Damian Sandow basketball segment. It's just so cartoony and childish and petty, and Damian Sandow deserves better, and we as fans deserve better. That's all I'm going to say about that. So with that, folks, we are going to conclude our review of this evening's Monday Night Raw. One last bit of business we like to take care of, and that is for the hosts that are here this evening to take a moment to tell you about some of the other things they got going on in their life that we would appreciate it if you would also take some time to go and check out and support. It's Mr. Steven Huego. Why don't you start us off?
All right, guys. Check out Unanimous Decision MMA for all your MMA coverage. You can go to udmma.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/udmma. Also, check us out at udmma on Twitter. In addition to that, also check out Addicted to Anime. We do a monthly podcast here on Megapowers Radio. The next one's going to be a review on Cowboy Bebop. It's one of the most popular animes of all time. So check out facebook.com/addictedanimefans for all your updates on that.
Mr. Tony Mango.
All right, guys. SmarkOutMoment.com is my wrestling website, and my podcast for that is Smack Talk, which you can find on YouTube.com/SmarkOutMoment, as well as iTunes and Stitcher. You can also check out some other stuff that I have to say about wrestling on Bleacher Report, and there are other A Mango Tree-related things, such as Fanboys Anonymous, that you can find FanboysAnonymous.com, and YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher, Fanboys Anon, Facebook and Twitter for everything else. And that'll do me in.
All right, folks, we hope you enjoyed our review of tonight's Monday Night Raw broadcast. If you did, please join us every single Monday night following the conclusion of Raw here on Mega Powers Radio. Easy way to find yourself here is www.megapowersradio.com. Remember, this is the most interactive post-Raw experience. We love hearing what you got to say. Always join us on the phone lines, the chat room, Twitter, whatever the heck is opened. So be sure to be there every single Monday night. But if for any reason you cannot, we like to make the show easy to find in archive form as well. It'll be available on smarkoutmoment.com, same place as Smack Talk and lots of other great wrestling content. Go there to get the easy links to any place you want to find this podcast. You can also search for NPR Raw Post Show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or YouTube, and you can easily find the show on all of those avenues in archive form every single week. Also like to take a moment to tell you guys that Mega Powers Radio is approaching its 1 year anniversary. Yeah, we've been doing this whole shtick for an entire freaking year, and we're going to be celebrating with our 1 year anniversary show Tuesday, June 17th, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We would like all of you guys to be involved. The anniversary is actually going to be falling on a Monday night, but hey, we got to serve you guys with our post-Raw show. So we're going to be rocking it on the Tuesday night. Please be there. All the information is available on our Facebook page, facebook.com/megapowersradio. Be there or miss out. I guess that's all I got to say about that one. Last thing I want to push out there, if you are a Game of Thrones fan, the end of the season is quickly approaching, but things are still going absolutely crazy on there. And if you want to hear me talk about all that crazy shit going on, check out the Sand and Snow podcast. It's available on fanboysanonymous.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and YouTube, all the same places, and on megapowersradio.com. That, once again, that's the Sand and Snow podcast. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. For Stephen Huego, for Tony Mango, I'm Mike Payton. We'll see y'all next time here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio.